Blog Talk Radio.
Up with Jeremy Schilling. Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we got weak cell signals after a thunderstorm. We've got commotion. We've got all sorts of issues. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. This is July 18th. This is the day after the Open Championship. And Sean, I think it's undeniable that yesterday was one of the greatest duels we've ever seen in golf history.
No, absolutely. Without a doubt, one of the greatest duels we've ever seen in golf history. Growing up, as I'm sure you can attest, being in the industry that we are, we're brought up with this love of sports, and we're brought up being historical knowledge of sports by our ancestors before us. And especially when I started getting involved with golf and really started to take a liking to golf, my dad was the one that would tell me about all these wonderful moments that happened back when he was around my age, or when he was younger in general, was watching more and more golf. And he told me about Jack in 86, and he told me about the duel in the sun at Turnberry between Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus. Now, while this was not necessarily a duel in the sun, it was more of a duel in the mist, this was probably as close to that as we could have ever imagined or hoped for with Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. When you see the spread between first and second and third, J.B. Holmes, who finished in third, it's just incredible to see how the course played for 154 players and how two men went back and forth throughout the course of the weekend. If you would have told Phil Mickelson that he was going to shoot 65 on Sunday, being a stroke down to a man who had never won a major before, I'm sure he would have taken it and thought he would have been taking his second claret jug. Henrik Stenson went out and played the round of his life, and it's a round that he will remember as fondly as Johnny Miller remembers his 63 at Oakmont. It was sensational stuff. NBC couldn't have asked for a better weekend of golf. And we move on to the PGA. That's pretty much my thought on it. I mean, I came into this weekend thinking Henrik Stenson, with his issues, as had been mentioned time and time again, would have issues again putting on Sunday, particularly within that 6 foot or so range. And I thought that if Phil could come out and continue to hit fairways, which as we know isn't necessarily something that Phil is known for, and hit those greens and play as well as he's played in Lynx golf as of recently, he could apply some pressure. And on the first hole, when Henrik didn't make solid contact off the tee and Phil Mickelson nearly holed out for eagle and Stenson three-putted, I thought, dear goodness, here we go. And from that point forward, however, Henrik really regrouped, three consecutive birdies, and then there was the trade back and forth. There was that stretch between Saturday and Sunday where there were a bunch of two-shot swings, and and the ebbs and the flows of that Open Championship on Sunday, on the weekend between those two was absolutely fantastic. And if you're Phil Mickelson, you can't whatsoever be too disappointed in how you played. Sure, you'd have loved to see a few more shots fall, a few more putts fall, rather. You'd have preferred to see a few more approaches a little bit closer to give you a couple of better looks. But if you're Phil, you can't be too upset with shooting 65 on Sunday down one to a guy who, again, had not won a major before. He put himself in a position to do well, and Henrik did better.
Right, go ahead, Sean. Yeah, and my thing, too, is that for Henrik Stenson now, here's a ball striker who had never been able to properly make the putts on Sunday, and now he's made the putts on Sunday.
No, absolutely. That's sort of right where I was about at, and Stenson was phenomenal. Every single time I thought there might be a little crack in the armor, he would make a 51-footer, or he'd make that slider down the hill at 14 that was a lot tougher than you might think a 15 or so footer would be. I mean, everything you can imagine went Stenson's way, aside from the three-putt on the first hole. But, I mean, he and Mickelson are, from what I understand, they're good friends. They play together a lot. They played together a lot in these majors, so it was a comfortable pairing, and he really got his teeth into it. And, you know, it would have been a shame if Stenson went his entire career, a lot like it's a shame that Colin Montgomery has gone his entire career without a major, if he wouldn't have won a major. You mentioned his ball striking. I mean, his ball striking is so pure. As somebody who's watched him 2 feet behind him, well, not 2 feet, maybe 2 yards behind him on the range, it just makes a different sound when he comes through. It's so pure. And, I mean, he does so much so well that it's nice to see him finally break through.
Yes, it is. And for Phil, I mean, this has got to be deflating. I mean, here's somebody who has worked so hard to – you know, lose the 25 pounds, get his game back in shape, and to literally be at the, you know, at the doorstep of winning another major and at such a historic place, it's frustrating. He did everything he could. 65 would have won, his score would have won 140 of 144 Open Championships, and it comes up 3 shots short. You know, it's deflating for him, but you just got to hand it to him.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. You can say that would have been good enough to win a lot of Open Championships. That would have been good enough to win a lot of majors in general. And it wasn't good enough this weekend. And you can be deflated about that, or you can say, you know what, he just played better. My game is clearly where it needs to be moving forward to the PGA, which is going right back to where I won it the first time and the only time I've won the PGA. So we're heading in the right direction. When it comes to Phil, I wasn't necessarily sure, you know, when you see these guys change swing instructors, and especially from guys that really worked with them for years and years and years, it's a lot like whenever you see somebody make a suspect switch of equipment. You don't necessarily know if that's going to be for the betterment of their game or if they're actually going to go backwards. And you know, I wondered if the switch to Getson was actually going to pay off. And while he hasn't yet made it to the winner's circle, he's doing all the right things. And I think after the sting of literally throwing everything he could out there on that golf course and coming up with a couple shots shy wears away, he can hold his head high and proud that at his age he's playing as well as he is, and he can take that and build some confidence off that. But you know what? He might not be done at the U.S. Open. He still has plenty of chances to win that U.S. Open and plenty more chances clearly to win an Open Championship, a Masters, or even a PGA in a couple weeks. So for Phil Mickelson, who insists that as he gets older, his game isn't going anywhere, this is exact proof that he's right.
And for me, Sean, what really impressed me about this situation is that Jack Nicklaus said that it was better than his duel in the Sun versus Tom Watson. When you have the greatest ever players say that it was better than his most famous duel, I think that says something.
No, it absolutely says something. And as somebody who never got the chance to witness that, and my dad has told me about the duel in the Sun and watching the duel in the Sun all those years ago, you know, this is, as I can imagine, as close to it as possible. And for somebody who lived through it to say that this was even better, wow, that's quite the compliment to two guys who laid it all out on the line and was really, I mean, to be honest, as Mike Tirico said on broadcast on Sunday, one of the best final rounds of a major we've seen in years. It was phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Basically, no one else had a shot for the most part, but Andrew Beef Johnston won the hearts of many. Here's somebody who won the Spanish Open and said he wanted to get hammered the next day, and he did. I don't know if his game can sustain on the big stage, but I think we'll be seeing a lot of beef, at least in social media, for a while.
You know what's funny is when I was out at Oakmont and I was with my friends that were in Jason Day's camp, he was playing a few groups ahead, and he wasn't playing, of course, anywhere near as well as Jason Day ended up playing that week, but the point of the matter is he was only a few groups ahead, and while Jason was playing three, I believe he was coming in on eight. And I remember watching him come through, and he might have chipped in or something, and it was a bit of an outlandish celebration for somebody who was as far over par as he was. And I made the comment to one of my friends who was in Day's camp that, wow, he's a character, this Johnston guy. And he says, you have no idea. He's one of the most hilarious people you will ever meet. Wouldn't you know, fast forward to the next major, he finds himself in one of the later groups, and that is put on full display. I certainly hope his game can sustain and that he becomes a more commonplace name, somebody that we see on these leaderboards more often, because the personality is exactly what you would love to see from a lot of these golfers out on these tours globally. And it's good for the game to have a character like that. And as we talked about Dustin Johnson last week, he's showing that he's human. You know, he's just like everybody else, except he plays golf at a level that we can't really, you know, relate to. But still, he's a lot like everybody else, and it's a lot of fun for everybody to see.
We're talking with Sean Davison about the Open Championship. This is teeing it up with Jeremy Schilling. It's not good when phone lines go down during thunderstorms. That's for sure. But we're trying to make this work as best we can. Let's go back to Stenson for a second, because we talked about Phil. Stenson, to me, is a floodgates guy. You know, it's getting over that Sunday hump. And now that he's over the Sunday hump, you've got to think that, you know, look, he's 40. I don't know how many majors, you know, he can win and what, you know, the amount of time left in his career will allow him to win. But this is a guy you'd think that will that should win on the PGA Tour more consistently and should contend and probably win two or three more majors now that he's gotten over this hump, because of the guys of the three guys that have won majors so far this year, DJ and Stenson fall into the just get me over the hump camp and now I'm good to the floodgates open. And for DJ, he won his next start in Firestone.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, I think a lot of people forget that Henrik Stenson won a FedEx Cup. I mean, this is a guy that he hasn't won a whole lot over here in the U.S., but when he did win, he won recently. He's been battling injury issues, I would say more so than others. He's been bit by the injury bug more frequently and more hardly than a lot of the other guys out there. But he's healthy. He's 40. He's in good shape. He's shown us all how good a shape he was in when he took his shirt off on the tee at 17. And, I mean, as you mentioned, the floodgates opening for Henrik Stenson. And I think that, you know, he's had all the pieces together. He just hadn't quite gotten the putter to cooperate. He shoots 63 on Sunday in a major. You got your putter to cooperate. And I feel like that was the last piece of the puzzle for him. And as you mentioned, there's no reason why he can't win two or three more majors moving forward, provided he stays healthy and provided he doesn't fall into the trap that I think Padraig Harrington fell into when Harrington started tinkering and tinkering and tinkering his way, and he tinkered his way outside of the top 200-300 in the world. You know, if Stenson sticks to what has gotten him to this point, the solid ball striking, the long driving, he doesn't even need a driver. He uses a three-wood and mashes it over 300, 310 yards. I mean, as long as he sticks to the blueprint and now has that confidence that he can make putts on Sunday, we're going to see a lot of Henrik Stenson moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory said that his job was to never grow golf. It got him some really bad publicity. But I think there's some truth to it in that people play golf to win and that through them doing what they do, they will grow the game. I think there is also the notion that he's an ambassador for Junior League Golf and does a lot of things with the first tee. And as he himself said, you know, I want to grow the game, but that's not why I play golf. This has been a rough week in golf for PR purposes. Spieth lashed out against the media about them comparing, especially I think the overseas press that is as harsh as they come to 2015 and says, look, I'm not having a bad 2016, it just doesn't compare to 2015. Where do you fall in this whole golfers speaking out against the media or just against, you know, this whole Olympic Grow the Game movement?
You know, as far as Rory is concerned about saying that his job, or at least the way he views his number one priority, is not to grow the game, you know, it's not the popular thing to say, but at the end of the day, when Rory tees it up on Sunday at Baltusrol, if he's in the final group, I don't think his number one concern is how am I going to grow the game today. His number one concern is how am I going to go get myself a Wanamaker trophy. He wants to win majors. He wants to win tournaments. He wants to be the number one player in the world. If, whether he needs to do it in the gym, whether he needs to do it by hours on the range, whatever it is he wants to do or how he feels he needs to win, he's going to make that his number one priority. He sees the value in growing the game, and that is something he values now. But for him to say, you know, it's not my number one priority or my number one job to grow the game, quite frankly, he's right. He's absolutely right. It's not the popular thing to say by any means. It's not the most diplomatic thing to say, not the easiest thing to say for your PR camp's sake, but it is true to a certain extent. It is true. As far as athletes speaking out against the media, it's tricky because, you know, you and I are both in the media and you want to say what you want to say in a diplomatic way. Part of me doesn't like it, but the other part of me understands that I can't compare to what it's like to be in the fishbowl that they are living their lives in, where everything they do, everything they say, everything, every way they act is scrutinized. And Rory has been scrutinized a whole heck of a lot, whether it's how involved he was with Caroline Wozniacki whenever he was jet-setting off to Roland Garros to watch her at the French and then coming back to a golf tournament without playing a whole lot of practice rounds before it, or whether it was the whole, whether it was this, whether it was his, what country he was going to represent at the Olympics, which he ended up not doing because of the Zika virus, whether it was how much time he was spending in the gym. While it is our job to speculate and to say things along those lines, I can't necessarily blame the golfers or the football players or the basketball players or the baseball players for getting fed up with it. But at the same time, you also have to accept that if you're going to live that life, you open yourself up to that sort of thing. So it's a double-edged sword in that regard. So that's the interesting thing with Rory. And with Rory, I mean, he'll say what's on his mind. It might get him into trouble, PR-wise. But at the end of the day, he's Rory. A lot of fans still love him for what he does on the course and for who he is off the course. He's candid, almost to a fault, and that can either be to his benefit or his detriment. You know, I do, as you mentioned, take issue with some of the things he says, but at the same time, I can't necessarily blame him either. So Rory is an interesting character in that regard.
Tough spot for these guys. They got a lot of different vested interests to worry about and people to speak to. We're here on Teeing It Up with Sean Davidson. Bill Haas finished ninth yesterday, and I know he's a random name to bring up, but this is Bill Haas's first top 10 in a major, which astounds me. It astounds me that the guy who's won a FedEx Cup like Stenson, who won the President's Cup, who's been on Ryder Cups, who's won a bunch of PGA Tour events, had never finished top 10 in a major. Also, a weird game, isn't it?
No, it's certainly a weird game where Bill Haas, who I sort of liken to a Zach Johnson, he doesn't do anything outstandingly well, but he does a whole lot of things really, really well, that he hasn't finished in the top 10 in a major before. And that might also explain why he didn't play as well as maybe a lot of people would have thought he'd play on Sunday. It was rarefied air for him. He hadn't been in that position before. But still, I mean, Bill Haas, we mentioned Henrik Stenson being a guy that had all the tools. Bill Haas is the kind of guy that has all the tools to do really well on big stages. And this was the first time we've seen him. Hopefully for him, this opens the floodgates for him to contend a little bit more. And who knows, if he contend a lot, at some point, you'll put four rounds together in a major championship, and you might end up taking a big trophy and a big check.
Never know what you will find when you start to piece together good round after good round after good round.
Hey, Danny Willett would agree.
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at this event and so many guys are afterthoughts. Rory got a backdoor top five. Nobody's going to talk about it. Tyrell Hatton, who's an absolute nobody, gets a T5. Sergio gets a T5. J.B. Holmes finished third. J.B. Holmes finished third. It just boggles your mind. The guy that I want to talk about is Steve Stricker, part-time player, gets the high finish in Memphis that he needs to get into the Open Championship, and then goes over there and finishes fourth at a 500 par.
Yeah, and Steve Stricker finishing fourth. I mean, he's coming up on the PGA Tour champions, and he'll be playing in the Masters next year because he finished fourth. I mean, Steve Stricker it's just phenomenal. Steve Stricker has figured out a way to spend time with his family. I mean, being somebody who's about to enter the PGA Tour champions, he's got kids that are not necessarily super young, and he's got a wife and he's got a family, and his family is taking more priority, and that's the kind of guy Steve Stricker has always been. And he wants to spend more time with his family, especially as his kids grow older and get ready to go to college and whatnot. And he's he's adopting the quality instead of quantity approach, and it's working for him. And he just earned himself a trip back down Magnolia Lane. And I mean, the guy is phenomenal. And his game is very relatable to everybody. He's not the longest, but he finds fairways and he gets it done. So Steve Stricker, I mean, I can't say enough good things about the guy, and I cannot be happier for him for how he played at Turin.
Do you have any thoughts on the Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Taylor Swift fracas from last night?
You know what? No, I try to stay away from what goes on out in L.A. I mean, I've been out there a couple of times for football games. But unless I'm focusing on sports out there, I really try to keep my nose out of what's going on in Hollywood.
Let's get back to golf for a second. Phil, I think, you know, it's really interesting to me what he's done with Andrew Getson to revamp his swing. He struck the ball sensationally. He almost shot the 62, obviously. Just looked out for 62. I mean, the guy has had a resurgence in his career. And you and I have talked about Tiger, and we've been skeptical about Tiger. And Tiger, here we are, a week away from PGA Championship week, and he has not withdrawn from Baltusrol yet, which is interesting. Because a lot of people thought that it might happen today. You know, he doesn't want to, cause any issues with the Open Championship, so he waits, and here we are, at Monday at 6:23 Eastern time of Open Championship week, and we do not have word if Tiger Woods will be playing in next week's PGA Championship. Do you think there's a chance that Mr. Woods may say yes?
I think when you bring up the name Tiger Woods, anything is a chance. And I think he has come a long way from when he was making the swing on the simulator, saying he was progressing nicely, to dumping three straight off the plane in the water at Congressional, to playing full rounds of golf, to saying that now he's trying to play full rounds of golf back-to-back-to-back at home in Florida in the humidity, no less. He's getting to where I'm thinking he wants to be, is competing out on tour and seeing how the game stacks up competitively. I thought, and you thought, that he would wait until what used to be the fall series, but now the beginning of the new PGA Tour season to try it out. But at the same time, Tiger Woods is competing against himself and the clock as much as he's competing against everybody else. And the more he sees guys playing and winning and doing all this, you know he wants to be out there and you know he wants to win. And while I think he knows that he can get himself into trouble by coming back too soon, I think at the same time, he knows he's close. And he really wants to at least play in one of these majors. So he's going to give it as long as he possibly can before he either pulls out or commits. It's going to be a long, sticky situation for Tiger because nobody wants to sit out all four majors, especially Tiger Woods.
Who wins the PGA Championship?
Who wins the PGA Championship? You know what? I'm going to go right back to Jason Day. I feel like he didn't play anywhere near as well as he wanted to at the Open Championship. He's been playing great all year. He's going to come back. He's going to fix his swing. He's going to get himself ready to go. And I think he's due for another major championship, and I think that he's going to assert why he's the number one player in the world. He's had his moments of brilliance at Oakmont, at the Masters, and at the Open Championship, and quite frankly, I think he's at that point where, like Tiger Woods, his definition of a great year involves winning a major championship at this point. That's what he's got left to do, win majors, win FedEx Cups. And I think he's really going to work hard to make sure his game is super sharp at Baltusrol to defend his PGA title, and quite frankly, I think he will.
He finished T22 at the Open Championship last week. And finally, and obviously you're partial to your buddies there, but what a start for Golf Channel and NBC at the Open Championship. They got as good of an event as they could have ever hoped for, and as good a Sunday as you could ever hope for in that duel. What a show, as Johnny said. What a show.
No, absolutely. I mean, I am partial to NBC and Golf Channel and all the folks there. You know, I've had some friendships and some professional bonds there that I'm forever going to be thankful for. And, you know, it seemed almost, you know, criminal that they did not have a major. As good as they've done at the U.S. Opens, as phenomenal as that broadcast team is from top to bottom, in front of the camera and behind the scenes, to not have a major just seemed wrong. I didn't think they were going to get the Open Championship. I thought with all the different things with the PGA they were doing, when the PGA Championship came on the market, they would get the PGA. Still might. But, I mean, when Johnny Miller made the comment that, you know, with Fox coming on to do the U.S. Open, it's going to be tough for them to just do USGA events and to not have a portfolio of other tournaments that they do and work their way into it. You could see that the transition to NBC to go to the Open Championship, albeit a different major, it just felt right. It felt normal. It felt natural. And they got a great tournament to boot. So, I mean, a wonderful weekend for NBC. Glad they've got a major again. And looking forward to hearing them moving forward into what's going to be a crazy stretch of Olympic golf, Ryder Cup, the FedEx Cup. It's going to be great for NBC moving forward.
And Sean Davison, thank you for bearing with us. And participating in a very weird edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.
Hey, no problem.
Gotta fix the toilets. That's, you know, plumbers gotta come for a reason. Sean, thank you, sir.
All right, Jeremy, thank you.
And that's it for Teeing It Up. I had to let the plumber in, what can I say? Thanks for listening to Teeing It Up. We'll see you next time, next week here, right here on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.